This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons. It's 3 o'clock. Ted Johnson been here for an hour. Kicking ass already. A lot of energy. A lot of humor.
Don't patronize me. When you're just pulling my leg. Please.
I don't know. I'm starting to think some of your best work is in the 2 o'clock
okay.
hour.
All right.
I like that. You had subtle humor that some listeners may have picked up on. Some may not have.
It's okay if most of them didn't.
We can move
right,
on
Ted.
Now,
never,
Andy.
Be okay with it, yeah.
Never play down to the audience. Always make them play up.
That's right. Be very cerebral. We're off to a fun start. Alex Cora joined us in the first hour. He's all excited about his baseball team and his fantasy football team.
He is. He's trying to keep it contained.
He what?
He's giddy, and he should be.
Yeah.
He was fun. He was taking a beating. He doesn't care. He's not engaged. It's just not important to him. Fire him.
And now? They're rolling, baby. They have a 94% chance to make the playoffs. They're like... it would be a stunner if they somehow didn't make the playoffs.
It would be.
They're the number one wild card team. They're staying ahead of the Yankees. They're playing good. They're pitching. They're pitching in starting rotation. They're pitching in the bullpen. They're hitting some home runs, which maybe that's uptick is good for them, bad for them. I'll wait to see where that goes. Yoshida was the classic example of a guy that shouldn't try to hit home runs, trying to hit home runs yesterday. But they're playing fun, good baseball. Mm-hmm. They're got a little payback, right? Last week, the Orioles, you're supposed to take care of business. You didn't. Yep. They win two against you. Now you come right out and win two against them. So all's right in Red Sox Nation. Man. But speaking of which, that may be something that I touch on in my three-point stance.
Green 19!
Ready!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak, a hat trick, and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer, and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman, Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or...
You don't know, Fitzy.
You gotta get Glassman. Attaboy, Stiz. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Our order, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson. Andy, you get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go right ahead.
So yesterday I talked about how fun and good Aroldis Chapman is, and then I realized I didn't say enough. I didn't go far enough. And we heard the manager of the Boston Red Sox talk about it earlier. He compared it to Eric Gagne, one of the great runs for a closer in the history of baseball with the Dodgers, and Cora was there to see that firsthand. We are witnessing firsthand the dominance of Alberton Aroldis Chapman. His ERA is 1.06. It'll soon be below one. Don't worry, because he's rolling. He's in better shape. He's throwing strikes. He's a dominant force on the mound. He should not only be a Cy Young candidate, I think you should actually really dig a little deeper and think, could he be an MVP candidate? Because the Red Sox bullpen, not named Chapman, blows saves at a record rate. They were leading the league in blown saves. So if you took Aroldis Chapman off the Red Sox and they were just the rest of the bullpen was out there, you know what they'd be? One of the worst teams in baseball. They'd be blowing saves left and right. But with Chapman, they are the top wild card. They're chasing the Blue Jays, only 4 games back. They're headed toward the postseason, and they might be headed towards a World Series. Chapman should be a Cy Young candidate and an MVP candidate,
wow.
baby.
Wow.
Woo!
Wow.
I like them apples.
Dang.
How do you like positivity?
It's the Chapman-Whitlock combo. It's really the dominating force.
That's not true, because I believe if you put Whitlock in the ninth, he would scuffle.
Okay.
I think closer is really hard. It is a special person with a special makeup physically, emotionally, everything about it. And you get that pressure and something happens and it snowballs for the negative to not allow that to happen. And we had the nice little stories in better shape. He lost weight. He wanted to be more flexible and athletic. I don't believe that. Whitlock is good in the eighth.
Okay.
If you're good in the eighth, doesn't mean you're good in the ninth.
That's true.
Ted Johnson now making faces at me.
Very, very true. Jeez. It's just like it fits. Like when you work 2 feet from him, he's like yelling at you like I'm across the room.
Ted, a little known fact about when I'm in studio, I actually have the volume turned all the way down
on my
headphones.
No doubt, no doubt. Woo, baby.
Little side note, my watch did alarm me yesterday that I was in a loud environment, and I think it was just me yelling at my watch.
That's the second day in a row.
Yeah, no, I gotta settle it down a little bit.
So,
your Apple Watch told you to pipe down?
Yeah, the decibels were too high or something. Too much exposure to those decibels could cause damage.
It's got to be something.
So the statistic, or the year, I should say, that Alex Cora is referencing specifically for Eric Gagne is 2003. He won the Cy Young. So this came out from ESPN earlier today. I was sharing this with Andy beforehand. The lowest OPS plus, which is a league average stat, so how much better or worse than the average pitcher Aroldis Chapman is. Best in MLB history for a single season is Craig Kimbrell in 2012. He finished fifth in Cy Young voting. And then second best is Eric Gagne, where he won the Cy Young. Gagne and Chapman are currently equal in that statistic.
So you're telling me he's a Cy Young candidate. Now, the one problem is, so's his ace. So's
kind of loaded this year in the American League.
Right, and you're probably going to split some votes. Like, if you really wanted, in a certain year, let's just say Garrett Crochet didn't exist, maybe you could start a campaign, and maybe more people would be talking about it. Maybe you should get a little momentum. But a lot of people might vote for Crochet for Cy Young, and people with ties to Boston or allegiances to Boston. Obviously, Scooble will be in the consideration as well. Although I think that gap might be closing. I think people assume that he should be the Cy Young more than he is the runaway Cy Young.
The line moved significantly. I was watching MLB Central yesterday morning. The line moved considerably after he gave up the grand slam in Sacramento. Although they gave him he gave up two home runs and only one earned run in that start. So the fix is in for Major League Baseball to get him the Cy Young. But that's its own topic. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Aroldis Chapman should be a legitimate. I'm not saying he's going to win it. I'm realistic, but he should be a top 10, top 5 type candidate. Especially now, you got to finish the race. You got a month of baseball left to go. You can't start blowing saves and giving up runs, but you got to keep throwing strikes and doing your job. And Aroldis Chapman, who knew? Because Was anybody excited when they signed Aroldis Chapman? I don't remember anybody like, yeah, baby, the Red Sox are back, Aroldis Chapman. I don't remember anybody.
You know what I'm grateful mostly for Aroldis Chapman about? It shut you up about Mason Miller. I mean, it's like, if I had to hear Mason Miller.
That's
good
true.
God, this Mason Miller obsession. And, you know, Chapman's got you totally off of Mason Miller.
You're right.
Now.
And,
he crushes on closers, Ted. What can he say?
Yeah. And it would have been worse if the Red Sox didn't have a closer and were struggling, and then Mason Miller actually moved like he did at the trade deadline, and the Red Sox still didn't have a closer. You're right. I would be bitching nonstop.
Insufferable.
But you got
more
Chapman.
Than you already are.
Now, what you need to do, there is the next step, though, and I know I'm putting the cart a little bit ahead of the horse. He's also one of those guys you need to keep here in Boston. This seems like it's working really well. How about we get like a 2-year extension?
Well, settle down. I mean, he's older now. Come on.
Wow.
You know, he's having the best year he's had in like 4 years. So.
Yeah, they fixed him.
Okay. All right.
He's in better
shape. Want to buy high on that stock, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this isn't Steve Pierce or some guy that they're signing. I'm like, oh, that's not going to go well. Mm-hmm. The guy throws 100.
How'd that go with Sale?
You think he's going to stop? It didn't work out.
Yeah.
So now we're going to work out of fear all the time? We'll never extend anybody?
Sorry.
Good players just walk away. How'd it work with Schwarber? You let him go. Oh, you feared giving him money. How you like that? Would you rather have Schwarber back?
I would.
Thank you.
Position. But yes,
he's going to be 38. Nothing to do with a closer who's almost 40.
Yeah, he's going to be 38 years old by the time opening day happens.
And he's slowing down?
I mean, right now, today?
You ever hear of Tom Brady?
Yes.
Guys who work hard, work out hard, take care of their bodies, can dominate well into their 40s. That's right. I compared Chapman to Brady, baby.
Tell me one other pitcher that's thrown 104 miles an hour at this age.
Nolan Ryan. With these guns?
You can't prove that.
No, but with these guns, he absolutely would throw 104 miles an hour at this.
You're relying on conspiracy.
Nolan Ryan. No, am I wrong, Ted Johnson?
I think he's right on that one. That's
Dan Ball.
That's probably the best.
Suck on that.
Nolan was probably Nailed throwing it. Heat. Yeah, I like that. Yep. At 38.
There you go.
That's why that's Dan Ball.
That's one guy in MLB history. There you go.
That's
nailed
the
it.
One.
The Andy Hart School of Arguing. Don't ever ask for one example. Say, give me three examples of old guys throwing hard. Because that way, if there's a one-off like Nolan Ryan, you're still like, okay, give me two more. And they don't have two more. Because I wouldn't have had two more.
Yeah, I could ask you for 12 and you'd still find a way to convince yourself you're right. Let's move on. Nick Fitzy Stevens, your turn. Are you ready?
And his watch would probably say, please, would you calm down? Oh, speaking of which, yes, absolutely I am.
Awesome. Go ahead. Here's 60 seconds.
All right, I know everybody is ready for some football and cannot wait for football season to begin in earnest next Thursday night, the kickoff game. How about them Cowboys and the Eagles? Sunday, of course, Patriots against the Raiders from the Razor. But before that, if you need to whet your football whistle, of course, you're very well aware that next Monday, you've got the debut of Chapel Bill as Bill Belichick's UNC Tar Heels host TCU in a nationally televised game. Hey, we'll be talking to Chad Brown in just an hour and a half to preview that game. But do not sleep on what I'm treating, week zero or not, as the kickoff to the college football season. It is this Saturday, and it is going to be an absolute banger. We are talking about a national championship caliber game, 12 o'clock from the Horseshoe, which will be filled with 105,000 screaming mad Buckeye fans. Arch Manning and the number one rated Texas Longhorns go to Columbus to take on the number three defending national champion Ohio State Buckeyes. Are you kidding me? I know college football isn't that big a deal here in New England, and it makes me so sad. So absurdly sad. But folks, steer into this and embrace it. This is going to be some awesome entertainment if you love you some football.
You know what? That'll be sick.
That's a great call, Fitzy.
Hook 'em horns.
I love that there's like two big powerhouses in week one.
Awesome.
Love that.
And not just two powerhouses. The number one pick in the draft, potentially, Arch Manning. Yeah. People are raving that Arch Manning is not only going to live up to the hype, he's going to surpass the hype that he brings to the team.
Except for Jordan Palmer. He said the kid's going to go in there and struggle and doesn't see any of the hype.
What does he know?
Excuse me. I'm sorry, I apologize. Jordan Rodgers.
What does he know?
In Jordan Rodgers?
I don't know who Jordan
Rodgers is. Yeah, I don't know who Jordan
is. That's Palmer, Aaron Rodgers' brother.
Oh, okay.
He was a guest on Get Up this morning. Yeah,
wait, there's a Jordan Rodgers and a Jordan Palmer's brother. Like, the Palmers and the Rodgers have these second brothers who are like...
They have to be named Jordan.
Jordan Rodgers, though, he doesn't even talk to his brother, I think.
No.
That's what I heard.
Nope. But that's an Aaron Rodgers thing. I wouldn't talk to him either.
But the Archie Manning hype is real. He's been there for 2 years.
He could have left. He didn't.
They interviewed his dad, and he's like totally fine with the process and... So if he's not ready now, he's never going to be ready. So I'll be curious to see how he performs tonight in that game. What do you think? One of your favorite venues in college football is the Horseshoe. Would that be up there?
Yes, absolutely.
Michigan
Big House, Death Valley, Kyle Field,
Brian
Denny.
Yeah, there's a few, but I mean,
never played a game in any SEC stadium.
Really? That was a different time.
The Big House was probably my favorite. We played Michigan my senior year and beat them with a Hail Mary brag.
And was it the real Big House? Because remember there was that time they kept adding on to places
So
there was
over 100,000.
100,000
Just over 100,000.
That's ridiculous.
Now it's like 115,000.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It is. It's insane.
That's like
double. Did you ever play Tennessee, Ted?
I never played tennis. Never Knoxville? Played any SEC schools. No.
You know, they say these stadiums that fit 100,000 plus within like a 1 mile radius of the stadium on game days, they estimate the population to be somewhere between a quarter of a million and 300,000 people. Like we don't get it. Like
crazy.
Up in the north, and I feel badly. It's not an Albert Breer take. This is just straight facts. We don't get that kind of mayhem with people tailgating for a week before the game.
Besides the Big House, the Nebraska was, you know, it was 80,000.
Yep.
Yeah, of red. And Nebraska, God bless them. They were so smart. They would just show highlights of old Nebraska Colorado games as we're warming up. Just, you know,
kicking your ass.
Oh, kicking our ass. It was genius.
Camp Randall in Wisconsin is also an awesome environment, Ted.
No doubt.
Yeah, no, there's a ton of them that I'd love to go to. That would be a fun you get old, you get in an RV and just try to bang out like your own little college game day and just go to a different stadium for like 6, 7, 8 weeks.
I want to do the UW. You go to the game in a boat.
A TV show about it.
Oh, yeah.
University of Washington. You tailgate on your boat and then you pull up to the Baylor's got that.
Now you're speaking my language. Yeah. If there's boats.
Yes, they do,
and
Ted.
Football?
They have sailgate. Yeah. They have sailgating at Baylor and Tennessee as well. You come in on the Tennessee River and park a half mile from the stadium.
I didn't know that about Tennessee. Okay, that's cool. That's something cool.
Road trip? Dan Ball, can you set these up live shows at all? Like, let's do our own little college game day version.
Yeah, for sure.
WEEI on the road.
Dip into the EEI afternoon slush fund for that one.
Where's the UNC on that list?
Well, I mean, he's
going to flip it on its head right now this season, Stiz.
Let's go, baby.
Center
I'm ready.
Of the universe Monday night for at least 1 week until it all falls apart.
But
until the wheels
one
fall
at
off.
Three, Saturday at noon on Labor Day weekend.
Pretty,
I mean,
pretty
you
badass.
Can't get much better
Bill
than that.
Bill Belichick has done it again.
Yep. We'll see about that. Does Ohio State got a quarterback this year? I mean,
Sophomore, this kid, Julian Sayin, I believe. They've got the best wide receiver in all of college football.
But they always have the best. But they never have a quarterback.
Jeremiah Smith is
they never have a quarterback.
Ridiculous.
He'd go number one in next year's draft if eligible.
You know what? And Texas never has a quarterback.
They do now.
Well, we'll see. What is the softest program ever, Texas? Will they get over the hump?
Where'd that come from?
Oh, that's just soft. Soft Longhorns, please.
All right.
Johnson Cohen, Texas, softest program ever. I told you got a little extra juice early.
I do. I got to settle down.
You might want to rein it in.
All right, let's go, Dan. Here we go.
Well, the best thing to rein something in is to give you 60 seconds for a 3-point stance. Go ahead.
All right, here we go. So, did you guys listen to the Mike Vrabel's presser today? I don't know if you guys heard just the kind of overall tonality of it, but it seemed like he didn't get his testosterone shot in this morning because he sounded down.
Oh.
And I think I'm wondering if he's a little beat up, a little bruised from kind of where he saw his team a month and a half ago versus now. If you look at this team now, it just feels thin. It feels like this team isn't the team that maybe I thought it was even a month ago. When you got guys like Kendrick Bourne, asking for trades, Marcus Epps asking for trades, you know, Anthony Jennings, and Kyle Duggar both on the trade block, but couldn't get deals. You start to wonder where the state of mind is for this team. 11 rookies made this team, 2 undrafted rookies. The average team usually keeps 7 to 9 rookies every year. This team has 11. 60% of this team is new from last year. My preseason win total prediction a couple months ago was 10 wins. And I have now changed it to 8 wins.
Oh!
8 wins. This team is an 8-9 team right now. And I think Vrabel knows it, and you can just tell in his voice today, he's a little down about his roster right now.
Interesting.
Did somebody not get their Dan Campbell-sized coffee with almond milk and 3 Splendas on the way in? Because I would almost describe, Ted, you have colored Mike Vrabel as much more Parcellsian than Belichickian. But today felt, for the first time, very Belichickian.
It did. It just down.
Just felt sad.
Yeah.
I think reality set in. And you also left one thing off there. They cut all their players, and no one else in the league wanted any of their players. Like, that's a reality of, your roster's not that good. You compared them to an average team?
Yeah.
They're not an average team. They're a below-average team. Like, that's the reality that's setting in.
The average team keeps 7 to 9 rookies every year.
Right.
And they have 11.
And you know why? Because they don't have good players from previous years. They're trying to restock on the fly, so they're a below-average team in the roster makeup.
That's it.
And interesting, 8 wins. That's where I was a couple months ago when you and I argued.
Are you still there?
I am not. But we'll save that for another segment. Okay. I don't want to step on your 3-point stance and give out all our records right now. But, we've talked about it. A little pessimism has set in, and maybe that includes the head coach, who was a little bit down in his press conference today at Gillette Stadium. We'll recap that press conference, but more importantly, the moves that have come since yesterday's show. Guys wanting out of town, guys they're claiming, what the roster looks like. We'll react to what is still, I would say, not the final 53-man roster, still sort of the early stages of the 53-man roster. We'll react to that next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. The Red Sox shut out the Baltimore Orioles last night 5-0. Lucas Giolito went 8 shutout innings to win his 9th game of the year. Boston has won 5 of its last 6. They are 13 games over 500, matching a season high. Game 3 of that series is tonight. First pitch at 6:35. Brian Bale will start for the Sox opposite Dietrich Enns. And you can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. MassMutual pregame show with Christian Arcanis tonight at 5:35, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the series. New this afternoon, the Patriots have released wide receiver Kendrick Bourne after he requested to be released. Wide receiver Javon Baker has also been released by the team. From earlier today, the Patriots claimed quarterback Tommy DeVito off waivers from the Giants, as well as cornerback Charles Woods from the Rams. No Patriots players were claimed off waivers today. On that note, the players that have signed with the Pats practice squad include running back Terrell Jennings, tight ends C.J. Dupree and G. Scott Jr., lineman Mekhi Butler, Jack Conley and Alec Lindstrom, outside linebackers Braden Swinson and Truman Jones, inside linebacker Cam Riley, and cornerbacks Miles Battle and Brandon Crossley. And new within the hour, the Browns have finalized the signing of ex-Patriots offensive lineman Cole Strange to their practice squad. From around the NFL, all-pro safety Kyle Hamilton and the Ravens reached agreement today on a four-year, $100.4 million extension, the largest for a safety in NFL history. The Vikings brought back wide receiver Adam Thielen earlier today in a trade with the Panthers, and Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice has accepted a six-game suspension for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. Go to findmassmoney.gov and see if you have unclaimed property. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. Go to findmassmoney.gov today. It's a secure website and takes only 30 seconds to search your name. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
You know what I mean? I think that we just, again, try to put the roster together. I guess when it doesn't work out, you break up with somebody, your girlfriend doesn't want to be with you, and then you say, well, I don't want to be with you either. I'm not going to get into all that. I just said I'm not going to get into it. It was just like, we're not going to go back and forth here. We're trying to build a roster. Got to move on from some guys. You make connections with guys. They earn opportunities. They get more opportunities. They take advantage of them, and that's kind of how these things go.
That was Mike Vrabel down at Gillette Stadium today, his press conference. And that was in reference to, that answer was in reference to a question, not specifically by name, about Kendrick Bourne and Marcus Epps, guys asking to be released, but clearly the reference was to guys asking for the release. And today that was Kendrick Bourne. They granted that release. Ted Johnson, face.
What? Can you imagine guys going to Bill Belichick and saying, you know what, Bill, can you just release me?
Sure, no problem. Here, let me just accommodate
anything else you want.
Yeah, I just, wow. It's amazing to me that their final roster, actually two guys are gone now.
Yeah.
From the 53-man original roster.
So we're down to 51.
That's crazy.
Dropping like flies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's I do find it interesting and
it's a little bit of a inauspicious start to the season, I would say.
Yes, and for him to sort of make the illusion, and I get it, you know, the old "you can't fire me, I quit" kind of thing. Who really wanted out? Did they both want out? But you're right, two guys from the 53-man roster, not on the 53-man roster now, in part because they wanted out of town. Is that a bad sign? I don't know. You know, because I did say that I thought Kendrick Bourne being here was a sign that they're keeping their best players. Because I still think he's one of your best players. I think if you went 1-53 and ranked him, Kendrick Bourne, given his experience and everything, if healthy, and the reports are he is indeed healthy, he can go to San Francisco and probably start playing. I think he's one of your best players. So, but it didn't work out.
He's definitely better than your ninth offensive lineman.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. So, I don't know. Fitzy, does this bother you that guys are asking out, asking off the boat? They don't want to be here anymore.
No, I see what you're saying is in they see a sinking ship or a distress signal has been sent out internally, so they feel like they need to bail while the getting is good. I think they just don't see the kind of future they envision for themselves.
Yeah.
Kendrick Bourne probably sees a much grander role in a Minnesota with the 49ers or Cardinals or multiple other teams as opposed to being wide receiver 5 in New England.
I'm curious, though. I don't know what his salary is, but does ask
$6 million.
Does he think he's going to get $6 million?
Well, no. I think that would be part of it, because if they wanted to pay him, they would have traded for him, right? Like, then they would just take out the middleman, not have to fight for him, right? The 49ers really wanted him. They would trade for the salary.
It's just a risk for Kendrick Bourne to say, "Hey, trade me," and to assume you're going to get $6 million somewhere else.
Maybe he just wanted out. Maybe he realized I'm not going to get the opportunities,
or he felt like he was going to get cut eventually and might as well just get it done now.
Probably, which is what I thought. I thought there was a chance you were kind of keeping him around as insurance to make sure Diggs can play. Yep. All right, you get to week two and Diggs is out on the field for 2 weeks.
Right.
Okay, he's here. Yep. And then maybe, you know, your boy Efton Chisholm, Fitzy. Oh, okay, you know what? He can compete. Maybe he's not Wes Welker, but he can compete. Bourne, you're the odd man out. We just wanted to keep you around just in case something went sideways with a couple of guys. So there's probably some truth to that. Or just flat out that he's buried. Because everybody in the world knew he was like the seventh or eighth receiver on the depth chart. Go somewhere. If you're going to be buried on a better team, right? To be buried on a team that Ted Johnson just downgraded from a 10-win to an 8-win, who knows?
But to Fitzy's point, I think he's right. I just, it's hard for me to believe that these guys are saying, you know, this is a sinking ship on one out. I feel like guys don't care. They care about their own personal role first and foremost, and then the team second. So it's really, they don't like their roles. Not that they think this is a sinking ship, is my guess.
And Fitzy, he might think he's better, and he might be, but he might think he's better than Matt Collins. He might think he's better than, you know, Booty, whoever, all these guys.
Mm-hmm. And Kayshon Booty, probably not Pop Douglas, but he thinks he probably deserves a wide receiver type three role. And unfortunately, given the fact that he took longer to recover from the ACL than a Steph Diggs, and he was beset by a camp injury, he just didn't get a chance to showcase and show out. So off he goes. I just think it's crazy that a guy like Kendrick Bourne, who we all believe can contribute to another team, leaves town with zero compensation.
Yeah, and he's been a little snake bitten here too. That might be part of it. You know, after the first year with injuries and remember he was in the doghouse with Patricia, right? Wasn't Patricia mad at him for something in 2022?
So some people thought it was the Carolina training camp joint practice fight, but I think he just didn't buy into Patricia's offense at all.
Oh, they were anybody that was talking behind the scenes, they were. You know, because that's that coaching staff. They're paranoid.
Right.
So Jacoby Myers out. Kendrick Bourne out.
Right. So he kind of, after that good first year, he was kind of snake bitten here between, you know, being in the doghouse, being injured, different things, even right to this year. Maybe this plays out differently if he doesn't get hurt this summer, right? Maybe he has a great training camp and now he's in a role where he's like one of the top two or three receivers and he likes it here and he sees where it's going and maybe he doesn't ask. But I don't know. I don't think you're going to necessarily be a different team because you cut Kendrick Bourne.
I agree. I did like his energy, though.
Yeah.
I thought he was, if he's a guy, you know, that kind of lifted the moods and it was energy and positive on a team for the last few years that didn't have much to be positive about. And I just thought it was a good influence on the rest of the guys.
Ted, what do you think about this text, the 413? Patriots are better off without guys who aren't honored to be part of the New England Patriots.
Ooh. Yikes. That's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
These are independent contractors. They're hired mercenaries first and foremost, and they care about making theirs and getting theirs and taking care of their family first and then family second.
Yeah.
Sorry, you would be the same way, Texter.
Absolutely.
If you were on a team.
I think your boy Ty Law once put it in a press conference. I'm Ty Law, president and CEO of Ty Law Inc.
That's it.
That's my role here. You know, doesn't mean he can't be a team player. And even Vrabel brought that up at one point. Remember he had the press conference where he said, you know, like, guys want to do well for themselves so that they can make money, but they also have to do well for the team.
But it's that kind of thinking, and I think this got the Patriots in trouble. I think they thought they were better than everybody wants to come play for the Patriots. Who doesn't want to six, you know, world, you know, Super Bowl titles? Tom Brady's not here anymore, and you guys don't pay. No thanks.
You want me to list the guys? Was that a rhetorical question, or did you want to go down
ahead,
like the Brandon Ayuk road and guys like that?
Just serve it up to you, bub.
Right, like all these guys, DK Metcalf, like even back in the day, remember Matthew Stafford left, and there was like part of his do not trade list was the Patriots. Like
my man down in Tampa Bay that took $10 million.
Way less money to stay in Tampa Bay.
Chris Godwin.
So, there's a long list of guys that didn't want to come play for the New England Patriots of late and just for the honor of being part of the New England Patriots. Fitzy, are you like Ted? I don't want to do all total season predictions right here, but Ted, I just think in his 3-point stance said something pretty interesting. I think he was pretty optimistic a month and a half ago, whenever that was, heading into camp. And now he has downgraded at least 2 wins, and just the tone of how he sees this team, the lack of depth, the lack of talent. Are you going down that same road?
Ted's gotten in the Ted Mobile and is driving
by himself
he's driving himself. It's not autonomous. He's stepping on the gas all the way down from 10 to 8. I'm driving. I'm cruising there as well. I think I'm somewhere in the 9 to 8.5 range now. I think I'm firmly in the camp of if this team goes 8-9 and they're, like I've said many a time, and they're in a lot of these games, and Drake May looks like he's your quarterback of the future, and you make the fans proud, that's a hell of a season. They don't need to win 11 games. Like, I think we need to pump the brakes on. Let's just start by pumping the brakes on the playoff talk first. Maybe they do finish 9-8. Holy smokes, that would be incredible.
It's funny though. I mean, you listen to every Devin McCourty thinks this is a playoff team. Everyone, yeah. Nick Wright thinks it's a playoff team. Colin Coward thinks it's a playoff team. Chris Sims thinks it's a playoff team, and it's like, and not even do they think of their playoff. It's going to be the best rebounding team. It's like a top five defense. I mean, Devin McCourty thinks it's a top five defense. I think he's out of his mind.
And that's the most interesting one to me, because the other guys, Nick Wright, Colin Cowherd, Chris Sims, those are national guys that maybe haven't been following every detail of the summer, every up and down and training camp. Yeah. Devin McCourty
did
the
preseason.
Do they know that
Gonzo's in sweats again today, Andy?
Right. Like, they don't know details of this. They're still in a month and a half ago off-season mode, won the offseason, won the draft.
Yeah.
Devin McCourty did the preseason.
I'm like, bro,
He's very prepared.
What am I missing?
Yeah.
Top five defense.
Now, you could argue he did the preseason games. Maybe he's once a Patriot, always Patriot, inside the building kind of thing. Yeah. But no, you're not missing anything. In fact, you've come to my – welcome to my side of the street where this roster's
so
a little
genius
thin.
Genius walks in
– Now with a Big Ted next to him. That's right. We're arm in arm as we head towards a season that might not be as optimistic as some of us once thought. But I also don't believe this is any more – any less interesting a football team.
Oh, gosh, no.
Like, just because they may not win 10 games, may win 8, or may not win 8, may win 6, they're going to be really interesting.
No doubt.
The storylines, the stars that evolve and develop, the stars that don't evolve and develop, like, 17 weeks of interest. They will be well, as long as Drake May stays healthy. If we start watching a lot of backup quarterbacks because of injuries, that's not always that fun. And speaking of backup quarterbacks, and if you didn't hear, not only is Kendrick Bourne gone, but Tommy DeVito was claimed by the New England Patriots, and Ted Johnson is excited about that. We touched off that the top of the show real quick about that. But, Ted, explain why you think it's just not a massive big deal or a really good thing, but why it's a good thing that Tommy DeVito was claimed.
I just was worried about our depth. I just Josh Dobbs does not blow my skirt up and get me too excited, and I think he's too inconsistent. And I feel like that's going to be an important position to have some depth with, and so I was a little bit. I thought Woolridge actually might make the team. I was a little surprised, and so
he petered out.
I think they upgraded obviously that third spot. I just think it's something you got to have a little bit more depth at, and so now they got it. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out if you know, Drake May gets injured, because I think that's on the table with
God
this
forbid.
Offensive line.
Yeah, but God forbid we don't. Hopefully, yep. Everybody knock on wood. Boom, boom. Yeah. Like John Gruden says, Fitzy.
Yeah, I mean, is there any chance Cutlets leapfrogs Dobbs? Because
yes.
I had a chance to pull the whole Gridiron Gang together last night for a roster cutdown podcast on Six Rings, and I got to tell you, like, the majority of our fellow employees at WEEI consider Josh Dobbs's poor performance this preseason almost as concerning as the offensive line.
Yeah, see, I don't put it there because I think almost every team in the NFL, if you go to your backup quarterback, the season's over. You went to your back. The one where, like, if you have a young guy, like Jackson Dart, he's technically the backup quarterback.
Right.
But you could turn to him in week three and it might be the best thing that ever happened to
Correct.
You, your first round pick. But most teams, if they have to go to their backup, the season's already off the rails.
But if there's the time to talk about backup quarterbacks is right now.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
When the season starts, then who cares? But if you're ever going to give that position a look-see, it's right now.
And don't those guys, Ted, do they play some role in preparation for the defense?
Yes.
So if the guy stinks, that's not helping the defense at all, right?
Correct.
So you'd want a better backup quarterback, you know, iron sharpens iron kind of thing on the practice field. So
it is interesting, though. Tommy DeVito maybe thinks he should be playing. I mean, he's had some success.
Uh-oh.
The runway not so clear anymore.
Not clear. Look at this runway. There's bumps on it. There's debris. Looks like Lightning McQueen paved this thing. It's bumpy all around with Tommy DeVito in town. 617-779-7937. How do you feel about the Patriots roster that's coming together? Kendrick Bourne gone. Javon Baker gone. Tommy DeVito in town, three quarterbacks on the roster now. We'll keep you up to date. The practice squad also coming together quite nicely. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons. And by the way, stick around for about 45 minutes at 4:30. former Colorado Buffalo, former New England Patriot, and current college football analyst Chad Brown will be joining us. Now, why are we talking to Chad Brown? Because on Monday night, he'll be broadcasting here on WEEI the Bill Belichick debut at UNC. That's UNC-TCU Monday night, Labor Day. Chad Brown will be doing that game. He'll talk about it in about 45 minutes from now from WEEI Afternoons. Up next, though, we got to get into a little Jordan. Yes, Bill Belichick and Jordan, they're back in the news. No, we're not forcing anything. All we do is tell you the stories that come across our wire. And today is one you won't believe. Something that a lot of us have called Jordan, well, she wants to take ownership of. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Get down, Bill. Go ahead. Get down.
About a gold digger.
Uh-huh.
Why would we bring that up?
Wonder.
So we have a report today from Darren Revell, who...
This is great.
This is not like a TMZ guy. He is a sports business guy. Used to be at ESPN. Has bounced around a little bit.
Shoot it right into my veins. Give it to me.
Didn't know where that was going. Just wanted to, glad we clarified that. So the headline, Bill Belichick Company... Managed by Jordan Hudson, files to trademark, quote, gold digger.
So it's Bill Belichick Company managed by Jordan Hudson.
A company owned by North Carolina football coach Bill Belichick and managed by his girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, has filed a trademark, the term gold digger, with the intention to use the mark on jewelry and keychains.
Oh, it's so smart. So smart, huh?
I also loved a line in here. So it says Belichick, blah, 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 Hudson, 24, blah, blah, blah. Gold digger, a term that refers to someone who enters into a relationship mainly for financial reasons.
Ah, thanks. We got that part. Thanks.
Thanks, Darren. Also, another line that I enjoyed from Rovell is Hudson has been very involved in all aspects of the former New England Patriots coach's life, from media management to real estate. And he doesn't write other things, but I'm thinking other things.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Bill said personally and professionally, she's been a big part of my life or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's his muse.
So, Ted, what do you believe... and this comes on the heels of, you recall, 17 prior trademark applications for things like Chapel Bill, Bellustrator, Trail of Salty Tears, which I have no idea what the hell that means. What does that mean?
It's offensive. I just can't figure out why.
Yeah.
It is, like, legitimately offensive.
Isn't it?
Like, the Trail of Tears. You're not supposed to reference the Trail of Tears. Okay. That's one of the great, like, sort of American massacres.
Yeah. And then no days off, the Belichick way, other things of that. Now, gold digger. So, but, Ted, your theory on why they are doing this, like, what do you think this is about for Jordan?
This is her trying to take her power back. This is, you know, you're going to call me a gold digger? Watch. I'm going to make jewelry of all, with the name of all this stuff that you're calling me. It's just it's a power play. She thinks it's a... You know what? You're coming at me with all this. Watch this, checkmate. I'm gonna get the jewelry called Gold Digger, and then what are you gonna say now? Kind of thing.
Kind of like when I make jokes about my height. It's like taking away your ammunition.
That's it.
If I make fun of myself of being short, then what are you gonna do? What do you got next?
It's the M&M 8 Mile, strategy.
But it shows you, like, this is what they're obsessed with. Is getting, you know, proving everybody wrong or getting back at people or clapping back. This couple is obsessed with getting back and kind of taking receipts.
Sticking it to the world.
Sticking it to the man, yeah, kind
but
of thing.
The question I would have, Fitzy, is, so this might be fun for us to talk about, and maybe it's even, some people will like it, that she's taking ownership of the word.
Yeah, good for her, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Except, yeah. Fitzy, what about people like, I don't know, Steve, Amanda, and Brian Belichick, guys, you know, people that...
Danny, the rest of the husbands and wives. Yeah.
People that actually, you know, could watch their inheritance and everything that their father, grandfather, whatever, built up for generations, wealth and different things, could watch it just go poof off into Hudson world.
I think there's a line actually in Gold Digger, correct me if I'm wrong, Stiz, where...
Careful. There's a lot of lines in there.
We want prenup.
Yes.
We want prenup. We want prenup.
That's right.
So you think there's a prenup,
Belichick,
when this happens?
Y'all have speculated so often, so long, so frequently about Belichick losing his fastball. If there's no prenup or a previously arranged agreement between the two of them and his cachet and the real estate empire is wide open, then he deserves to lose it all to this banana town.
Wait, what do we think he's getting married? Do we think they're going to get married? I'd say no way.
I'd say no way. I wouldn't rule it out.
I would not rule it out.
If he gives
T Swift and Kelsey can get married,
man, that would be to me an upset. I would be like, okay, wow, she got him to marry him. That would be.
She's
like,
got her claws in.
I know, but
and other things.
That's one thing. That's all the right that now. To me. That's I just that would be the shocker of it all. Nothing's going to shock me, but that would.
Well, and that would also go down the road of, from my perspective. When I feel bad for Bill, like maybe he has lost his fastball and maybe he is being manipulated a little bit.
Don't go there.
If he gets married, I think that's the answer. He did lose his fastball. He is being manipulated, controlled, whatever. What people were calling it, was it Megyn Kelly, the former Fox, called it elder abuse when she was talking about this relationship.
Yes.
If she convinces him to marry her and no prenup and all of a sudden she's Mrs. Belichick,
she's already...
She goes up to Steve at the practice field. By the way, Steve, you can call me mom now.
It might as well be married because they are commingling funds. If you ever get divorced, you'll learn this term called commingle. Oh, where you mix your money in.
Yeah, but what is she bringing to the commingling?
It doesn't matter. If they invest in a million-dollar house and they put a down payment and it's $100,000 down payment and she puts $1 in and Bill puts the rest, she gets half of the money when the house gets sold.
That's good investing right
okay?
there.
It's called commingling and just...
All right.
He's
starting to get fired up. We're talking about Bill and Jordan. This is not Ted Johnson or anything to do with your history.
That was a long time ago, Ted. Move on. But that's, to me, that's they're already married in a way. My guess is they're commingling.
Well, especially when, like, you have national business writers talking about her as the head of Belichick's corporations. Doing certain things, opening, I'm assuming, the Gold Digger jewelry line, which will be available wherever online. Yes, Stiz.
Well, how many years have they been together? Because, Ted, 7 years is common law,
right? It sure is.
That depends on which state, though. They've bounced around a couple different states, so I don't know how that muddies the water a little bit there. Also, some question, if you recall, of when they got together, because there were some issues there, both in terms of Linda and age of Jordan at the beginning
Pablo
of the relationship.
Pablo Torre broke it down. She was in the stadium. 2023.
Yeah, she's been around for a while.
Red pants.
I've heard a lot of things. I've heard a lot of things about her.
And wasn't that book signed 2021, if memory serves?
Oh, is it 2021? You're
the
right.
one that was signed on the plane. I'm pretty
sure it was
2023.
You're right. It's 2021.
Yeah.
And she apparently lied about her age on some things to try to backdate things to kind of clean that up a little bit.
It seems above board.
Oh, yeah. It's all fine. Mm-hmm. It's all fine.
But, I can't see them getting married, but even if the off chance they did, I cannot see him not signing a prenup.
I would hope somebody would step up.
I can't see that in a million years.
Like, I would hope somebody in his circle, maybe Mike Lombardi, steps up and goes, listen, Bill, I've let you have your fun long enough, and you can keep having your fun. Just don't be an idiot.
Nobody.
Get Neil Kornreich in here. Get a prenup. And that used to be Bill's lawyer. I don't know if he still is, but that was Bill's lawyer for a long time. Neil, come on in. Let's do this the right way so Bill protects himself and the Belichick legacy and generations. Yes, Dan Ball?
This is a genuine question. Is there anybody left in Bill's circle who's going to tell him no to something?
No.
Probably not.
Not a one.
Jordan.
You know what it seemed to be? Remember the reports along the line? It was the daughter-in-law. Seemed like the daughters-in-law, well, both of them, I believe, were kind of...
Oh, no, they've called her out publicly.
Yeah, so maybe they, through their husbands, his sons, would try to do it,
attempt
to do it.
No way, because they're not going to bite the hand that feeds. Both their sons are working on the staff down there.
Yeah, but there might not be anything to eat long-term if you don't bite the hand that feeds there.
Okay.
If this goes down the certain road we're talking about.
And we got the holidays coming up, so is it
Linda?
One big happy family? You know, Belichick, the kids, Jordan. How awkward is that Thanksgiving going to be?
Wait, which side are you on?
Even when things are good, it's awkward with him, right?
Yes. I'm Team Jordan, but I still, you know, can acknowledge the awkwardness with the kids and with Jordan.
Weird. Like it's not right, right?
They're all younger than Jordan.
Why
I mean, they're
so
all
awkward?
Older than Jordan.
Why is it so awkward? Because it's not right?
No, because people are hating on the poor girl, and, it's just awkward when people hate on you.
Feels like you ran out of things today. 617-779-7937. Bill Belichick is trying to trademark Gold Digger, Jordan and Company. That is an interesting story for us to keep an eye on as he prepares for his debut, which we'll talk about with Chad Brown, who'll be broadcasting UNC-TCU. We'll be talking to Chad in about a half hour. But up next here on WEEI Afternoons, I asked a question on the poll a couple days ago that we're going to bring to the listeners. Simple question. You got to think about it for a minute, though. Who will win more football games in the month of October, the New England Patriots or the Boston Red Sox? That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.